Very big day because it is the State of the Union address. Now, I also want to mention that Stephanie Harmon, who is normally by my side here on the show, is out on assignment today. We love to say that. That's a fun thing. Anyway, so Steph will be back tomorrow, but she will certainly be here on Friday when we can talk about the results of tomorrow's address. Anyway, we also have a guest who will be here about a half an hour from now, and that is Bill Monroe. Bill Monroe is an ex-St. Louis policeman, and he is somebody who's been involved deeply in St. Louis education, and so we're going to talk to him at 4:30. So that's what's happening today, and a lot is going on, of course, all having to do with my favorite person on the planet, and that's Donald Trump. And let me say this about my friend Trump. You know, I've had other people like him, people in politics who I just got stuck on because they were just so horrible. And the moment that they got off the political stage, I didn't even remember their name because it's just not important that way. But in the case of Donald, it's especially important because here's a guy who, as of today, for example, is filing furiously all kinds of motions for his upcoming court case, that is the one in New York, which they call the Stormy Daniels porn case. They call it all kinds of things that have to do with sex. But the case isn't about that. The case is about election interference. And believe me, Donald knows it's about election interference, and he is scared. He is very frightened. And how do you know how frightened he is? Well, first thing is he wants to get Michael Cohen prohibited from testifying in this case. Now, you might say, Michael Cohen's a liar. Michael Cohen is an admitted perjurer. Yeah, well, he's all of that. And in fact, he's even worse because he was an enabler for Donald Trump for years. That's how bad he was. But the truth is now much different. After going to jail and after being tossed aside by Trump, like so many other people, Michael has basically come forward to testify the truth. Now, you might say, well, how can we believe him? The man is a liar. He's a perjurer. He's told us he's that. Well, he has. But it's not just what he says. It's what he says that can be corroborated that is important. The fact that he was lying at some time doesn't mean that we don't want to know what the truth is. And the truth is that he did things for Trump. And there are papers that allow us to see exactly what was done. And this paper trail is not a perjurer. The paper trail isn't a liar. The paper trail is the documentation. So the documentation backs up what the perjurer has said to us about this trial. So you cannot believe him. You don't have to. But you have to believe the papers because the paperwork is factual. Now, if they want to try to claim that is Donald's people, that this was all made up documentation, let them make that case in court. Instead, what they want to say is that Michael Cohen shouldn't be allowed to testify. Well, of course they don't want him to. Michael Cohen knows everything that Donald Trump did. He knows it in absolute total detail, And he knows where the documentation is to prove his points. So based on that, if I were Donald, I'd be pretty frightened too. It's a good time to be frightened. This man has 19 days before he has to face a jury, before he has to face the prosecutors who are going to bring witnesses to the courtroom, who are going to reveal everything that Donald Trump did, not sexually. That's not the issue. The issue is, was this man trying to hide from the public in order to interfere with the election? Was he trying to hide from the public a story that would have cost him votes? And in fact, if he did that using fraudulent methods, well, the state of New York, the city, the prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, I mean, they're going to come down on this guy with everything they've got. And they've got a lot. They've got over 30 felony indictments. Now, people say he's innocent until proven guilty. Well, of course he is. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to acknowledge that. That's for the court. That's a protection for Donald when he gets to the court. And that's good. He should get his protections. He should get his due process. Absolutely. We don't want Donald to miss one protection that he's got under the law. Let him have it all. But we don't have to stand here stupidly and say that what he's done is okay, because we know it's not. And we also can watch how the man reacts to all of this. And so we know that he's one scared little puppy. And he's doing everything he can to keep the evidence from becoming apparent in the courtroom. I don't blame him. He should do that. But every lawyer today, after hearing all of these crazy motions that have been filed, every lawyer that knows anything is saying clearly he's going to lose. He always loses these things. But the way he's made it up until now that's benefited him is that in the process of filing things, he's found ways to avoid the day of truth. But you see, now he's not going to avoid it. And when the jury comes back at the end and says guilty, which, believe me, they're going to find him guilty of something. They're going to find him guilty of one of those felonies. Well, then he's going to be sentenced. And he's going to be sentenced, well, pretty severely, probably, I would think. I don't think anybody's got much sympathy for him. He calls the judges names. He says that everybody's a liar, of course, except for the real liar, which is Donald. But at any rate, he'll do all of this, and there will be some kind of a guilty verdict, I predict. And then watch him squirm. Watch him come up with all kinds of motions and appeals and all, and he's got the right to all of it. But here's the interesting part. If you're found guilty of felonies, I mean, the judge could put him in a court, in a jail. Nah, they're probably not going to put him in jail. They're probably going to just put an ankle bracelet on him or something so that he doesn't go running off to who knows where. Well, Moscow. I mean, that would be the place for him to go. And actually, in my opinion, what I would do is I'd let him go there. Just send him to Moscow. Let Putin have him. I have a feeling that Donald might not be too happy going to be with Putin, because I don't think Putin loves Donald. I think Putin uses Donald. And how he's able to do all that, I predict, and I've always said this, that someday we're going to find out. We're going to find out exactly what this relationship is. Why is Donald meeting with Putin's buddy, Viktor Orban, at Mar-a-Lago? I mean, you notice that Donald isn't meeting with the top person in France or the top person in England or the top person in Germany. I mean, no one in Europe wants to talk to him. He's not meeting with people from the United Nations. He's not meeting with anybody. Well, he would meet with Netanyahu, maybe, if Netanyahu would be willing to. But none of the, you know, certainly not any of Netanyahu's appointment opponents. No, none of them. Because no one wants to be with Donald except for Viktor Orban. Honestly, if you don't know who Viktor Orban is, I mean, don't believe me. Go look it up on Google. He's a very bad person who is very good friends with Vladimir Putin, who, by the way, has threatened to attack the United States, 14 different sites with nuclear weapons at almost any time. And I think it's sort of interesting. I think it's incredibly interesting that in 2024, no one's worried. You don't hear people running around saying, what are we going to do? The nuclear weapons are coming. No, none of that. Now, in 1963, everybody was scared. They were frantic. The nukes were coming. At any moment, Khrushchev could attack us with the weapons. You know, if the ships coming out of Cuba were going in the wrong way. Look, then they were frantic. Today, nobody's thinking about it. I mean, here, Putin says, we're coming to get you. We're going to launch the missiles. No one's worried. And I'm not saying they should be, because I don't think there's a chance that he's going to launch a missile. Now, it's easy to say that, because if he launches any missiles, you won't have to make fun of me on Showdown. You won't be here. Neither will I. No one will be. So that's easy. But I'm telling you, Vladimir Putin is not going to launch any of those missiles that he's threatening. And yet, in 1963, everybody was freaked out. Everybody thought the missiles were coming any moment. You know, we hear all these stories about Putin putting satellites up in the sky with nuclear missiles aimed at our satellites and aimed at the Earth and all. Come on. You don't think any of that stuff's happening, do you? I mean, at the movies, yeah, maybe. But they're not going to do any of that. No, they might put something up in the sky, sure. But they're not going to aim it at anybody. No, all Vladimir Putin is going to do is count on the fact that he can use a man who was once president of the United States. That's what he's got. That's what he's got in his pocket. And he can do a lot of damage with that man. That's his nuclear weapon that he can use against us, and he'll try. And he's going to do everything he can. But there's not much he can do about what's going to happen in that courtroom, is there? Because that is where the line is drawn. No one's going to get into that courtroom. No Russian. No one is going to get beyond Donald Trump. That's their hope, that they can use Trump. And look, if they could get him elected president, they'd have it made. This would be the Soviet Union And here we'd be one of the Soviet states. That would be wonderful. What do you think he's meeting with Viktor Orban about? I mean, they're not down there just having a party. No, they're talking about business. What are they going to do? How are they going to run this place if Donald gets into office and he can take everything? You remember? Dictator on the first day. Of course, the question is, what happens on the second day? Donald says, ah, ha, 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 it's a joke. Well, sure, everything's a joke until he does it. I guess there were a lot of people who thought Hitler was a joke. Oh, he's just kidding. You don't think he's going to do that? The man tells you what he's going to do, and you don't believe him. And especially after he's done all that he has. And look, how much more do you need than a guy who stands up in front of the United States of America in the middle of the worst pandemic in 100 years, and he tells you, inject yourself with bleach? Oh, yeah, that must be a joke, too. Everything is. But apparently there were some people who didn't think it was a joke. And I'll give you an example. Lynn Cheney did not think it was a joke. Lynn Cheney was pretty smart. She stood up and fought against Donald Trump. And I'm sure she knew that it was going to result in her not only losing her seat, but really she lost everything. Every bit of credibility in the Republican Party, whatever that is. So she lost credibility. I guarantee you, Liz Cheney is sitting around right now thinking to herself that the day is going to come when everybody looks around and says, where were you in the middle of all of this? And people are going to say, well, there's Lynn Cheney. She stood up at the right time. She was somebody who you could rely on. She was a truth teller who was willing to take all the risk in the world. She was. But the fact is that when all of this gets sorted out in a courtroom, Cheney is going to look awfully smart, as will Adam Kinzinger, another guy who is losing everything. I mean, it's all gone. All credibility totally wiped out in the Republican Party. Now, what's interesting is where this puts Nikki Haley. Because at the beginning, she tried to play it both ways. And then, in the end, she stood up and said, Donald is not fit to be president of the United States. And he's not. And so many of us know that. And the people on the other side, that is, you know, in that alternate universe, you know, that Back to the Future, Biff Tower universe, all those people, they think that this is all set up by the FBI to destroy Trump. We know that's not true. Those people on my side, the people who read the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, you know, newspapers that have been here for close to 200 years and have credibility, even as we note that one is liberal and one is conservative, but somebody's out there that thinks that it's all a conspiracy set up by Joe Biden, that brilliant manipulator of men who, of course, when the Republican Party wants to tell the other story, they say that he's an enfeebled old man who knows nothing, who can't speak, who messes up words. I don't get all bent out of shape over the fact that Donald Trump the other day was talking about, I think it was Saudi Arabia, something like that. Maybe it was Venezuela, one or the other. And in the middle of this thing, he started doing this. Okay. It happens. I mean, that part hasn't happened to me, I'm happy to say, but I miss words, I miss names. We all do. Everybody does. But what we're not talking about that. We're talking about a man who will say anything and has lied day in and day out, not just during his time in politics, but even before that, the man was a liar. And everybody knew it. And he's gone through his court cases and he's had his problems, but he's always snuck through. Listen, no big deal. Al Capone did exactly the same for decades. Al Capone was killing people. Everyone knew he killed people. They just couldn't prove it in the courtroom because there are standards that have to be met. But the day finally came when Al Capone went to court and they got him on tax evasion, and that was the end of it. And they're going to get Donald. Now, I have to admit, I never thought it would go on this long, but it doesn't matter what I think because there's a system operating here and it protects the innocent. And that means that sometimes the guilty get to go free. That's just our system. We love that. We say we do. It's funny how you can ask people about that, and they go, oh, no, that's not right. We don't want guilty people going free, but that is our system. We take the chance that a person who is guilty might go free because we know that there are innocent people who could be convicted if we don't follow our standards. That's our system. It's great. You got to learn to live with it and enjoy it because it really protects every single one of us. The people who set all of this up never envisioned that it would be used this way by a former president of the United States. Nobody thought that was the possibility here. Well, so in the meantime, we're going to find out what the Supreme Court has to say about that, because they're going to rule after they hear the April 25th oral arguments, and that's when they're coming, on the immunity claim of Trump. Now, you know, just logic tells you that Donald Trump is not going to get immunity for things that had nothing to do with being president of the United States. Donald gets up there and he's just overwhelmed with anger at how he's being treated. And he says, how could I make a decision in the Oval Office if I don't have immunity? I must have immunity. You can't let me be put in that position. How could I protect you if I'm not protected? But nobody's talking about that because, of course, those things that he's talking about, that's a completely different story. Yes, he should be protected in that regard, but that's not what we're doing here. We're coming after him for things that he did before he was president, things that he did after he lost the presidency. Oh, sure, he's got immunity for things that have to do with making decisions for the United States. But when you call up the Secretary of State of Georgia and you ask him to find 11,000 votes, and then when the guy says, I can't do it, and Trump says, come on, you can tell them you miscalculated. You think the jury isn't going to understand that? That's why they want to get rid of Fani Willis. I want to get rid of her too if I were Donald Trump. They got that guy now who came out of the woodwork in the last minute. Well, not even in the last minute. It's past the last minute. And he says, oh, I knew all along she was a liar. Donald will do anything. He is a very frightened man, and he will do anything. And I don't know, he may just be frightened for more than what we think. For example, maybe if he messes all of this up, maybe Vladimir will come looking for him with some of that poison that he uses on people. So who knows why Donald's afraid? Maybe he's not afraid of us. Maybe he's afraid of his Russian handlers. Oh, I know. I'm really crazy saying that. But you know what? If you read the Mueller report, no one wants to say that. I say that all the time because it's true. I've read it. Right? Read it. It's all through there, all the meetings that he had with the Russians, which Mueller had a problem with, but couldn't do anything about because, like he said, you know, this report does not exonerate Donald. And of course, Bill Barr turned around and said, oh, this report exonerated Donald. So all the millions of people who didn't read it, which of course, why would they? Who would read 448 pages? You'd have to be nuts. Unless you wanted to actually know what's going on, then you might read it. But, you know, if you're happy not knowing, then I guess you don't have to read it. If you're enjoying every night watching reruns of The Apprentice, you could be very happy without knowing any of the facts. But there are some facts here, and they are all being tied together in this first case that we're going to see coming up in New York City. This is significant. Everybody says it's the least significant of all. Well, of course, in a way it is. It's the least significant when you consider that Donald had unbelievably high-level documents sitting in his bathroom. And look, maybe nobody was going to get into the bathroom. That's not even necessarily the danger. We have pictures. This is as good as tape. We have pictures. You can go watch the video, which is actually, it's not moving. It's just single pictures, but it's part of a video presentation on YouTube. And the picture shows what we saw on TV live, and it was Donald handing over documents to Lazarov in the Oval Office. Russia's guy. Just giving him everything right in front of us. We saw it. You can go see it. Go watch it on YouTube, Google, anywhere. It's all out there on the internet. Watch it. That's reality. It happened. And in fact, not only did he hand over things to the Russians, but on top of that, he refused to allow American journalists to go into the Oval Office with the Russian journalists. And we found the information by watching Russian television. I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. And I guess the point is the Biden people and all the Democrats and everybody that wants to stop Trump, they don't even want to talk about any of this anymore because it sounds so ridiculous. How could it be true? How could Donald have shown classified information to the Russians in the Oval Office, excluded American journalists, and only let in the Russians? How could that have happened? Well, if you don't understand now how it happened, 91 indictments later, 91 federal counts, 4 indictments, 91 federal counts later, if you don't get why all of this was able to occur, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you can sit here and say, oh, Joe Biden has weaponized everything. Joe Biden didn't weaponize the pictures of the Oval Office with Donald Trump turning the keys over to the Russians. You know, I love to say that because somebody will say, oh, Kasin's saying things that aren't true. He didn't give them any keys. No, he didn't. He gave them classified documents. He showed them. He wasn't supposed to. Everybody knows he wasn't supposed to. It was a problem. But we pretend like it's not happening in front of our eyes. But let me say, in 19 days, this will go into the courtroom. And then watch Donald shaking. Or watch him laying under the table, or I should say lying under the table. I don't mean it in that way, but I want to say it, you know, good English. But look, he'll be lying under the table in the fetal position as everybody comes into the courtroom and tells the jury what the story is. I don't think that's funny. And I feel sorry for him. I truly do. But you really have to throw the book at him, and you have to get him, because this guy will wriggle out of it if you don't really come down hard in this case. In every case, you've got to get him, because he's done it all. Now you just have to prove it. Okay, so let me prove to you where you can get fabulous food and it's right here in Chesterfield Valley, and that's Wendy's. And Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And they've got baby back ribs, and they've got onion rings, which I love onion rings. I really do. Now, you know, I've told the story 1,000 times, not just here, but I just watch my weight. I'm not going to go berserk, so I'm careful. But I promise you, they've got great food at Wendy's. And actually, after the show, after Showdown, then will be the real food showdown, because I'm going to go down to Wendy's with Vic Faust. And we're going to talk to the owner. We're going to have some fun down at Wendy's. And you can have fun at Wendy's any night. Just go on down there. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And I promise you, you're going to love their food. I promise. I'll report on all of this tomorrow for you and for Stephanie as well. Now, let's talk about the jewels. I'm talking about the jewels on Hampton. And I did speak to Al today. And in fact, I'm going to spend a little time with him on Saturday. And I can tell you right now, Al is always up to things. He's got so many things going on, you just wouldn't believe it. And really, if you go to their website, you can find all kinds of things about their jewelry store there, jewelsonhampton.com. Honestly, great stories about what's going on at that place. And I promise you, Al is so busy down there. He's selling jewels. He's creating jewelry. He's meeting with people. He's making deals. Al's smart. He really is. And you'd be smart to go to 4506 Hampton and meet Al and meet his son, AJ, and do some business down there having to do with jewelry. You'll love it. They know what they're doing when it comes to jewelry. They're the best. And coins, they buy and sell. They're good. That's Jules on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And now, here I am, dressed as usual. And I have to tell you, this is one of my favorite ties. I really like this color. You know I'm colorblind. I've told that story many times. But this is a blue color that I just like. And if somebody said, well, Kaysen, you know, there's some purple in that thing. I don't know what's in it. But I like the color, and I believe it's blue. So that's good enough. And I follow what they tell me over at the St. Louis Suit Company on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. I do whatever they tell me because they know the colors. I don't. But it's a great place to buy suits and ties. $5 for the ties. You know, my favorite thing is you get a $5 tie. It's all silk. And you get that tie over at the suit company. And honestly, you could buy that tie from Donald Trump. He'd sell it to you. He probably has a bunch of them laying around the house over next to the documents. But here's the thing. Those silk ties that he's got, he'll sell them for $50, not for $5. And remember, be careful, because when you wrap those things around your neck, you don't know what's going to happen. I worry about that. For you, I don't, you know, I go to the suit company, so I'm safe. St. Louis Suit Company, on the corner of Central and Forsyth, great suits, great ties, shirts, everything. Seersucker suit, I'm looking at that right now, thinking about it for summer. I'm probably going to get one. I love buying new suits. I just like that. Okay, so that's a little business right now. And in a short period of time, right now it's what, 4:37. In a short period of time, we're going to be joined by Bill Monroe, who is a former St. Louis police officer, assuming he can figure out how to work his computer. But I think he can probably handle that. And we'll get him up here and we'll talk about what he's been doing for decades now, having to do with charter schools. So that's coming up, and we'll talk to him. You know, one of my other favorite topics is immigration. And, you know, I had a big argument with my brother this morning because he's always explaining to me that I have this completely misunderstood. I just don't get it. Because it's really a problem that all of these illegals are coming across the border and they're swamping Southern California where we grew up. And, you know, so I sort of know what it's like there. I remember well as a kid, a teenager with long hair, they used to say, don't go to Mexico. You go to Mexico with long hair, they'll steal everything you've got and they'll put you in jail. So I did stay out of Mexico. Maybe I'd have been fine. I don't know. But I do know that today there is a problem with immigration, people coming up from the South into the United States. And the problem is not what you think it is. The problem is not that the people are coming across that border. Because they can come across the border. They can keep coming. We've brought people in over the years, lots of people, many. We brought them in from Europe because, you know, we felt comfortable with people who looked like us. We, of course, did some bad things to the Chinese. We didn't like it that they didn't look like us. But in the meantime, here we are. We're dealing with a problem. And the problem is that we don't just bring the people across the border and find out, you know, who they are, where they're going to live, how they're going to survive here, and help them to fit into the United States. We don't do any of that. So given the fact that we don't do anything to help the people, well, don't you think that we would have a problem? And we do. And they have a problem, the people coming across. And let me ask you this. Why are they coming? Donald says they're coming to steal everything you've got and to rape all of your women. That's what he's told us over the years. Now, the numbers don't show that at all, not even anything close. The numbers show that actually these people are better behaved than our own people, the people who were born here, the people who live here. Those people, the ones from here, are the ones who cause problems. Now, I have the numbers. It's on the website. You go to my website right here, talkstl.net. There's a section, a little tab, that tells you that there are some articles there. Go to it and find the article on migration, and you'll see all the statistics. These people don't cause problems. These people come over here and try to survive. Oh, they send some money back home, sure. Is that a problem? Are you worried about that? They come over here and they want a job. Well, it's tough to get a job when you don't have a card that says you're allowed to work. So that makes you a criminal right away. So guess what? If you don't want them to break that law, give them a card. Give them a Social Security card and tell them to pay their taxes and to live here peacefully, which they do anyway, and you won't have to worry about these people breaking the law because they won't have done it because they'll be here legally. Now, I happen to say that we should send kids, talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that graduate from high school, send them to the border. Send a million of them to the border. And one of the reasons I say it, aside from the fact that we've done the Peace Corps and we know it works, but aside from that, there is so much university research that says that these young people mentoring others actually learn tremendously. It's an outstanding opportunity for them. So, let's do it. Instead of rushing them off to college, and some of them don't want to go that fast, send a million of these young people down to the border. They'll help people down there. They'll help them to fit in. They'll help them to figure out how to get signed up for some kind of an education course. I don't know. They may help them do other things. They may help them buy things from the grocery store. I don't know. They may help them to learn English. Great. The research says that this is tremendous for young people to let them mentor others. That there's just, it's a vastly positive experience. Why don't we do it? We've already done it with the Peace Corps. We know the Peace Corps works. Now, people will say, Kaysen, you're going to send all these kids down to the border. All those terrible murderers and criminals are going to murder all those kids. Well, I know that because I'm reading right here that the migrants crossing the border are violent criminals and murderers. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Donald Trump who said that. Oh, well, okay, so let's not worry about that because it's university research that tells us that the people who come across commit the least number of crimes, cause the least number of problems. Well, we know that they're all committing a crime when they come across the border today because we make it illegal. Well, sure, if you make it illegal. Look, if you make it illegal for people to eat ice cream cones, then when they eat an ice cream cone, they're going to be criminals. But you don't want to do that. And you don't want to do this other thing either. Because really, it benefits us to let the people cross the border, come in, become productive citizens. We've all got family that did this. They came across Ellis Island legally because we didn't make it illegal. So we let them in, and they came here, and you know what? They did fine. They did great. They became the backbone of our country. They all went to college. They got these degrees because, you know, they fought in the war, World War II, and then they came back out of war and got degrees. As were obviously the kids of these immigrants. But that's the point. This is so dumb. We know it works. We have done it. This isn't me giving you some kind of crazy story. This is something that we've done. We did it in a big way, and it worked tremendously. So why would we be against it? Well, because Donald Trump tells you that these people are murderers and criminals. Oh, well, sure. Let's just believe what Donald Trump says. A man who has been lying for 40 years and now has 91 felony indictments against him because the system has decided that it's time to get this guy. So let's just believe what he has to say about the people coming across the border. Let's not believe our universities because obviously they're lying. What's their purpose for lying? You got to remember, and I've said this before here, all of this is peer-reviewed. Let's assume that the people at these universities are just a bunch of liars. Well, once they lie, then the peer reviewers would step up, the other professors. They'd read it all, and they'd say, well, this is a lie. Can't publish this lie. But that's not what they do, is it? What they do is they publish it all because it's the truth that the people who come here don't commit crimes. They come here and they want one thing, to live a great life like everybody who's living here. That's why they're coming across our border. They're not going anywhere else. These people aren't fighting to get in to see Vladimir Putin. They're not fighting to go see Kim Jong-un. They are fighting to come here because this is a great country. Not a great country that has to be made that way by Donald Trump. It's a great country that just works. Everything works here. How about the bureaucracy? It works. You know, there was something called the spoils system a long time ago where people just got jobs because of who they knew. We changed all that. We created the civil service. People take exams, they get jobs, and they work for us in the government. Or maybe they become foreign service officers and go to other countries and work for us. Tens of thousands. You know, Donald will tell you, I alone can do this. But I'm sorry. That's not the way it works. We have tens of thousands of people who do this for us. And no, those tens of thousands of people are not part of the deep state, whatever the heck that is, because there is no such thing. What they are is they are people who go to work every day, come home, take care of their families, and work for us. And they're part of the executive branch. They work under Joe Biden, you know, that enfeebled old man. I know he has trouble walking. But everybody on our side makes the case probably every day that just because you can't walk doesn't mean you can't talk, doesn't mean you can't think. Remember a guy named Franklin Roosevelt? The man couldn't walk. So stop it with the walking thing. I know he's old. I'd prefer somebody young. But I happen to also think that Joe Biden is probably right when he says that he's the man to beat Trump, because he's done it already once. And, you know, Joe Biden's pretty tough. I know you don't believe it. Maybe you'll watch the speech tomorrow night. Maybe tomorrow night you'll watch Joe Biden, who is going to show you how tough he is. He's going to give a great speech. He did last time. He's going to give a great speech. I'm sure that the adrenaline is flowing. This guy knows. Think about it. He's running for president. Everybody says he's a moron. He can't think. He's enfeebled. He can't walk. You know that the adrenaline is going to be flowing for him tomorrow night to show everybody that he's capable. And he's going to be excellent. I'm just predicting it. I don't know. But I think he will. I think he'll do that. I think he'll be outstanding. And I think when he does, I don't know, the Republicans will say, oh, no, it's AI. They made it up. It wasn't really him or something. I don't know what they'll say. But they won't admit what you're going to see tomorrow night is as good as it's going to be. I just know it because I know what happens when people stand up with adrenaline flowing and they have ability. And Joe Biden's got ability. And he's going to stand up and he's going to speak and he's going to be very effective and he's going to say some things that are very important for understanding what the country needs, number one. And number two, he's going to make a political case against Donald. And he's going to do a great job of it. And, of course, he's got the help in 19 days. The help from Alvin Bragg coming in New York City. And it's funny how Donald's been running around trying to shut down all of these other cases. But now, here it comes, the first one. And it was supposed to be nothing. Of course, it was never nothing. It's a lot more than nothing. It's a great deal of something. And when it hits, this guy's going to be knocked out. And maybe he'll stop talking about these migrants who are coming across the border who honestly are generally good people. And they intend to try to better themselves, to have a great life. Make it legal, and they won't be criminals because they won't break the law. They will not, if you make it legal. Now, if you say everything that they're doing is criminal, then yeah, they'll be criminals, but they won't steal anything from you because they don't want to. They want to get a job. You want to give them something? Give them a Social Security card. That's what they need. You give them a Social Security card, I'll tell you right now, they will go to work. Gee, what a shock. Who would do that? Give them a card, they go to work. They'll pay their taxes. They won't have to hide. They won't have to hide their children. All of this is so sensible. Why aren't we doing it? When we know we've done the Peace Corps, why won't we send all these kids down to the border and give them a chance to get great experiences helping other people? It'll make them better, and it'll make the people coming across better. And by the way, why don't you check out some statistics on crime in general. Just in general. Because I think you're going to find out something. It's not so much crime. In fact, it's amazingly low. Look it up. Look it up. I'll give you some stuff on that tomorrow. But in the meantime, you know, I'm sort of missing my good friend Monroe, but it doesn't matter because he'll be here. He'll want to come tomorrow. That's fine. We'll let Monroe come tomorrow. He probably tried something on his computer and it didn't work. But I can tell you right now, Bill Monroe is a great story. He's a great St. Louis story, and he'll help you to see some things about education in this city that you need to know about. Now, I have some other people also coming on to talk about education, and you know they'll have maybe a different perspective, but I think all in all, what you have to find out here is that there's some good people out here trying to do the right thing. And unfortunately, somebody is always benefiting by trying to point at the good guys and say, oh, they're out to get us. Everybody's out to get us. All these people are so fearful. What's happened to them in their lives that's made them so fearful? Now, if, in fact, that you've experienced trauma in your life and that's the reason you're fearful, okay, fine. You know, we should help you. I'm serious now. We provide help for people all the time for all kinds of things. I know you've possibly forgotten that this is the wealthiest country in the world and that there are things that we can do that others can't. Like China, who doesn't own us. People say that all the time. No, China actually has an overall debt ratio. I mean, it is far in excess of ours. China's got trouble. And they're desperately trying to hold things up. And it's not really working for them so well. While we're benefiting from a good system, a great system, and a very competent president of the United States who will show you tomorrow night what he can do. He's going to be good. And I am going to jump out of here so you can see the next show. And let me say that this is all brought to you by Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, and the St. Louis Suit Company. Great people, and we appreciate their support. And I am going to say to you this. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy the speech tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen.